we continue in our scripture readings, we are reading this morning all the stories that we have of Judas, which aren't, it's not a lot, but we've heard how he was called, and now we get into some of his betrayal and what happens after. So I invite you again to hear the word of God. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you were here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed. He went and hanged himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So back at our Maundy Thursday service several weeks ago, we were talking about the Last Supper and Jesus' betrayal and arrest and death, and I found myself in the service that night focusing on Judas. So I wanted to come back after Easter and spend a little bit of time talking about Judas, because Judas isn't someone that we talk a whole lot about. And there are a lot of questions surrounding Judas. Who was he? We don't know a whole lot about him. Why did he betray Jesus? Did he have a choice in it? Or was his betrayal somehow foreordained? Because Jesus seems to be pretty clear ahead of time that this is going to happen. And if his betrayal was foreordained, if he didn't have a choice in the matter, then would God punish him for something that he did not have a choice in doing? So I wanted to spend a little time thinking about Judas this morning, because I think the story of Judas speaks deeply to our experience of life and faith. And I want to start very simply with his name. He's identified in Scripture as Judas Iscariot. Now, what is that Iscariot about? There's one theory that it has to do with where he is from. That Iscariot is a Greek rendering of the Hebrew word Iskariot, which means man from Kerioth. Kerioth is a town in the southern part of Israel. Not a whole lot else to it. Back then, people were sometimes identified by the town that they came from, like Jesus of Nazareth, Judas of Kerioth. But there is another theory about Judas that biblical scholars have, that Iskariot refers to a group called the Sicarii, which means dagger men. The Sicarii were an extremist group. They were essentially first century Jewish terrorists whose goal was to kick the Romans out of Israel. Now, in Jesus' time, Israel was being occupied and oppressed by the Roman Empire, and there were a lot of different groups that wanted to force the Romans out by killing them if they had to return the kingdom of Israel back to the Jewish people. There was one group called the Zealots. We heard in the scripture reading that one of Jesus' disciples would refer to as a zealot. And then there was this group, the Sicarii. So the thinking is that Judas might have been a part of this extremist group. If that is the case, it could really help us understand why he betrayed Jesus. Because when groups like the Sicarii and the Zealots thought about the Messiah, when they were expecting and hoping for a Jewish Messiah, they thought of the Messiah as someone who was going to raise up an army to kick the Romans out of Israel and restore the kingdom of Israel back to the Jewish people. The disciples talk about Jesus throughout Scripture as the one who would redeem Israel. And they're always asking him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what they're talking about. Their expectation was that Jesus was going to be an actual king, a monarch, who sat on a throne and defeated the Romans. So on Palm Sunday, when Jesus is processing into Jerusalem and people are laying their cloaks down on the road in front of him, they're waving palm branches, they're reenacting the enthronement of a king as it was done in the Old Testament. Judas sees that and has to be thinking, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. He's finally going to do it. He's going to start an uprising, a rebellion to defeat the Romans and give us our nation back. This was everything that Judas had been waiting for. And then it didn't happen. Jesus wasn't the kind of king that Judas and many other people expected him to be. He didn't do what Judas hoped he would do. Judas had to feel disillusioned. I would imagine that in some ways, Judas felt betrayed. He thought that Jesus was on his side, a part of his team. He thought that Jesus stood for the same things that he did. And then to find out that he didn't? I mean, can you imagine how that might have felt to Judas? Have you ever had expectations of someone that they did not deliver on? Have you ever thought that someone was on your side, that they stood for the same things that you do, only to find out that they didn't? The thing about the Sicarii, this extremist group that Judas is thought to have been a part of, is that they wanted to kick the Romans out as part of a larger social revolution. Zealots, this other group, they wanted to get rid of the Romans for more religious reasons. But Sicarii, they wanted to take that a step further and completely reorder society. And a part of that reordering had to do with divisions between the rich and the poor. They wanted to level things out. More justice and fair economic practices. And they thought the Romans were standing in the way of that leveling out. So, was Judas part of a group whose chief purpose was to help the poor and bring about justice for people being oppressed? There's this time right before Jesus is killed when Mary anoints Jesus by pouring a jar of expensive perfume on his feet. And Judas gets upset when he sees this and says, Lord, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Is Judas upset because he thinks Jesus is betraying this mission to bring about a social revolution and help the poor? And in the Gospels, right after this story is told, the very next thing it says is, Judas went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I betray him to you? So he sees Jesus do that, and then he goes to the chief priests and says, what will you give me for him? Because Jesus isn't who he wanted him to be, who he expected him to be. He isn't doing what he expected Jesus to do. And if he's not going to do it, Judas might as well make a little money off him that he can use to help the poor and further the cause. That's the thinking there. Without at all saying that he was right in doing this, can you at least maybe begin to understand where Judas was coming from? What his motivations might have been? Judas felt that he had been betrayed, so he betrayed in return. I think the question here is, can we find empathy even for Judas? Because when we can find empathy for Judas, it opens up a whole lot of room in our lives to find empathy for others. In writing this sermon, it's funny, one of the things that I struggled with the most about this was the title. And at first, I wanted to title this Resurrecting Judas. That sounded good, keeping with the Easter theme. But that's not something that we can do in a sermon. Only Jesus can resurrect someone and give them new life. Then I thought about redeeming Judas. But again, we can't redeem Judas. Only Jesus can do that. What we can do is understand Judas. Understand who he was, what he did, and why he did it. And that's all we can do with anyone. We can't redeem them, or save them, or fix them. Only Jesus can do that. But we can seek to know them, and understand them, and maybe through that, find a way to love them. We have all felt betrayed at some point in our lives. A friend or a family member, a spouse, a parent, a child, a co-worker, a church member, someone we trusted, someone we thought was on our side, and then they did something to break that trust. You know, you told me it was going to be this way, but then you did this thing that showed me something completely different, and now I don't know if I can trust you again. We've all felt betrayed, and we have all betrayed. We might have betrayed other people. We might have betrayed God, betrayed our faith in God, like we say one thing, profess to believe one thing, and then do something that shows the exact opposite. We might have even betrayed ourselves, our own values and ideals. It's like Paul says in Romans, I do not understand my own actions. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Instead, he says, I do the very thing that I hate. It's this feeling I think we've all felt of, this is the way that I want to be, it's the way I want to live and order my life, but then I do this thing that goes against everything that I stand for, and I just can't help it. I think the reason that we can identify with Judas is because we have all betrayed and felt betrayed. And maybe the reason that we never talk about Judas is because we're not really talking about Judas. We're talking about ourselves. When we go through these experiences of betrayal, whether we have been betrayed or whether we're the ones doing the betraying, there's this feeling that comes with it, like a part of us is dying. We go through this experience that there's a visceral feeling of hurt. Judas was so racked with guilt after he realized what he had done. I mean, he knew what he was doing going into, but when he fully realized what was happening here, that he had betrayed an innocent man, he betrayed his friend, he's so overwhelmed by the shame of what he has done. The other disciples aren't going to take him back after this. They won't ever be able to trust him again. He has alienated his friends. He sees no hope, no possibility of forgiveness. He completely despairs. And the only way out of this that he can see is to kill himself. There's this one little line in Judas' story that gets missed, and we don't ever talk about when it comes to Judas. It says that when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver he had received for betraying him. Judas repented. And to repent, it doesn't just mean that you feel guilty or bad about something that you've done. To repent, it's this Hebrew word that literally means to turn. It's about changing your actions, reorienting your life. You were going this way, but now you are going this way. You were focused on this, but now you're focused on that. It is about changing the way that you live. Judas didn't just feel guilty. He didn't just feel remorse over what he had done. He repented. He tried to turn things around. He tried to change. because some part of him must have seen some small glimmer of hope, some way to fix this mess that he had created, some possibility, however small, of forgiveness. Paul goes on to say in Romans, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, Paul says, can separate us from the love of God. God's love is stronger than our sin. It is stronger than our betrayal. When Christ died, it was to forgive all our sin. Not just some of our sin. Not just this one, but oh, not that one. What God shows us in Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, is that there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. Which begs the question, even for Judas, is there forgiveness for Judas? Is there resurrection for Judas? Frederick Buechner is a pastor and author who talks in one of his sermons about what's referred to as the harrowing of hell. It's this idea that Jesus died on Friday, he was resurrected on Sunday, but on Saturday, he descended into hell to rescue all those who had died before the crucifixion. This is why we say in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. It's this idea. And Buechner, in talking about this, he imagines this scene where Jesus and Judas meet in death and talk about everything that has happened. And it ends with Jesus embracing Judas and kissing him, like Judas kissed Jesus in the garden when he betrayed him. Jesus counters the kiss of betrayal and death with one of forgiveness and life. And in doing so, he sets Judas free. And while that is an imagined scene, I think it points to something very real. And that is the possibility of forgiveness for Judas and for us. Because when we ask whether Judas can be forgiven, I think what we're really asking is, can I be forgiven? This person who has betrayed me and hurt me, can I forgive them? Is it even possible? Can I still be loved after what I have done? And can I love this person after what they have done? Is there forgiveness for the betrayals in my life? Is there resurrection for the deaths in my life? I think the answer to those questions is found in Judas. Let's come back to his name here at the end. You know what Judas means? Judas is the Greek way of saying his name. He was Jewish. His name was Hebrew. In Hebrew, the name Judas would be Judah, which means God is praised. Judas's name means God is praised. Even in Judas, God is praised. Because it is Judas's act of betrayal that leads to Christ's act of salvation. Even in betrayal, God can be praised. Even in death, God can be praised. Even in this thing in my life that is killing me, God can be praised. Even in me, in you, in all of us, with all the brokenness in our lives, God can be praised. And it comes down to this. If the resurrection is for anyone, it's for Judas. And if resurrection is possible for Judas, resurrection is possible for anyone. So the question for us is, can we find a way to meet the betrayals in our lives with forgiveness? Because that is how Christ meets us.